Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 10 through 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teachings of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out of your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove your evil deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. If your sins are like scarlet, will they become like snow? If they are red like crimson, will they become like wool? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
We like to wash things, right? We see the need to wash things. We wash our clothes, we wash our hands, we do the dishes, we wash our cars. We even power wash the deck. I should show you this scar on my foot because I was wise enough one time to power wash the deck with flip-flops on. Not something I would recommend. So we're used to washing things, but what about our lives? How good are we at cleansing not our bodies, but our souls, our inner being? Because it seems like when it comes to that, we tend to have a bit of a cleaning problem. And so getting clean is what the Old Testament reading today is all about. The Lord God speaking to the people through the prophet Isaiah has strong opinions about washing. And when you read this text, it's like when you as a parent admonish your child to go wash their hands before dinner or to go take a bath, whether the child sees the need for it or not. In fact, God makes it abundantly clear in today's text that Israel is in a dire need of a good scrubbing. They're in need of a deep clean. And so through the prophet, God tells the people of Judah that because of their sins, he's not listening to them. He says, when you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. So God says, no matter how much you pray, I won't listen. And then he follows that by instructing them and saying this: wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. So he says to them, go home and go wash up. Clean up your act. Sweep your lives clean of your evil doings so that I don't have to look at them any longer. Now you might wonder what the sin is here that Isaiah is referring to, the huge sin that he's talking about and alludes to in this text. Is the sin of being religious without being righteous. Being religious but not righteous. Talks about worship charades and trivial religious games and prayer performances. That God is tired of their religion, while they at the same time go right on sinning. People with power are carefully observing religious festivals and worship of God, but they're also running corrupt court systems that favor those with bribe money. They're oppressing the poor and leaving orphans and widows to fend for themselves. And so God says, enough of that. Learn to do good, do justice, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. He says, work for justice, help the down and out, stand up for the homeless, go to bat for the defenseless, then and only then, says God, will I see any value in your pious acts of worship. So think about that. But you know what? Change is possible. Change is possible for all of us. And so the Lord says, come and let's talk this over. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. And so it seems like there is a spiritual soap. There is a way to deep clean your life. So if I had to come up with, you know, a headline for this passage, it would probably be something like this. Don't do the wrong thing. Do the right thing. That's kind of the overall lesson here. Don't do the wrong thing. Do the right thing. The question is, why did Isaiah have to tell them that? As the people of Israel, they had the laws of Moses. They were well informed about the covenant between God and Israel, his people. Surely they already knew that God wanted them to hate evil and love good, as it's clearly stated in Amos 5, verse 15. That God wanted them to avoid what is wrong and embrace what is right, to pursue righteousness, to flee wickedness. So why weren't they doing it? Well, ask yourself that same question. Why don't you do the right thing all the time? Have you ever consciously done something wrong? Come on, you need to be honest. This is church. Of course. We've all done that. And it's usually not because we don't know any better. It's more like there's a spiritual duality in us that's always in conflict. What the Apostle Paul calls the old nature and the new nature. Have you ever seen one of these cartoons, you know, where someone is torn about what to do, and then there's this tiny angel who stands on one shoulder and whispers in the person's ear, do the right thing, do the right thing. And a tiny devil who stands on the other shoulder and whispers, don't listen to that, come on, do the opposite, do whatever you want. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. So he says, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Doing things that I absolutely despise. So he was aware of this inner conflict. He had this struggle in which he was pulled in diametrically opposed directions. And I'm sure it's something that you can identify with. And you know, I think part of the problem is that often when we deliberately do the wrong thing and nothing bad happens to us, it becomes easier the next time to do it again. And so what we do is we make up our own rules, we lower our standards, we decide that, you know, we're flawed, we know that, and that's okay. And so we rationalize or make up excuses for our behavior. And that is what we see in this passage for today. The people whom Isaiah was addressing wanted to stay in God's good grace. But by coming up with their own rules for their behavior. And so they justified mistreating others while being pious. In terms of observing all the religious festivals, all the other ritualistic practices that their religion required. And Isaiah pointed out to them that God does not value ritual without reformation. Ritual without reformation means nothing. And so what we're in essence talking about is what is called orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Orthodoxy means right belief, right? And it's always easily tied to rituals, traditions. And the people of Isaiah's day made sure they never missed a holy day observance. They never missed a prescribed sacrifice. So they were orthodox in their beliefs, and they were orthodox in the rituals that supported or illustrated those beliefs. And I think we're familiar with the word orthodoxy, the concept. I think we're familiar with that. But what about orthopraxy? Whereas orthodoxy means right belief, orthopraxy means right conduct. So unlike orthodoxy, which is all about what we believe, orthopraxy is all about what we do, what we practice as a result of our faith. You see, pleasing God is never a matter of orthodoxy alone. Today's text from Isaiah reminds us that orthopraxy is crucial as well. Think about the New Testament. We find this in the New Testament with the Pharisees. They had orthodoxy up the wazoo, but they were a little weak on the orthopraxy side of things. And do you know what Jesus called those who were strong on doxy but weak on proxy? called them hypocrites. In Matthew 15, you know, the Pharisees bring up this very topic of washing and being clean. And they come to Jesus with a question. Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. They ask Jesus, why don't they wash their hands before they eat? This is our age-old ritual and tradition. Why don't they observe it? And Jesus kind of crushes it in his reply. And he says to them, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. I mean, those are harsh words. And so Isaiah's theology of what it means to be clean brings orthodoxy and orthopraxy together. Because these ancient rites in the Old Testament, including the sacrificing of animals, symbolized ritual cleanliness. But, and here is the important part, by themselves, they could not make the worshiper clean. For that to happen, the person also needed to do the right things and behave honestly and helpfully. And so what's fundamental to coming into the presence of the Lord is living a life of obedience, a life that advocates for justice and mercy and compassionate acts. And so what it means is that we are to follow up faith with works. We simply can't reduce spiritual cleansing to something like, well, you know, come to Jesus and all is forgiven. That's true, of course, it is. But it's not the whole gospel. The Bible also insists that good works must follow faith. James wrote this, said, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead, useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. And so you see, for us who identify as followers of Jesus, doing our best to do the right thing, the thing that is loving our neighbor as ourselves, is the soap that washes us and makes our worship of God acceptable to Him. Doing what is right, saying what is right, showing kindness and mercy. We're not just going through the motions when we come together here on Sundays. We are present and we are willing to obey and to show that obedience in our lives when we leave here. And all of these things are basic ingredients of spiritual soap that is able to do a deep clean in our lives. Having faith and coming to God in the name of Jesus, seeking forgiveness for our sins, and then following that with good works by doing what is right in gratitude towards God for who He is and for what He does for us. That is how we get clean. And as you know, when we really get clean, we smell better as well. Now, cleanliness has a highly attractive aroma to it as well. And so the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, alludes to this, and he says, our offering to God is this. We are the sweet smell of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are being lost. To those who are lost, we are the smell of death that brings death. But to those who are being saved, we are the smell of life that brings life. So as followers of Jesus, we are called to live clean. We are called to think clean and to be clean in our inner selves, to really be the smell of life that brings life. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. Sometimes your word, it's not that easy to hear as we think about our own lives, but God, it's so necessary for us to be reminded that we cannot just simply go through the motions in our worship and our rituals and our traditions, that there's more to it than that, that cleanliness also has something to do with us being authentic, with us doing the right thing as well, and not just saying the right thing. And Father, we know that all of us need to be cleansed. We know that all of us are sinful by nature and that we struggle and we find it hard to follow your commandments and to follow your Son Jesus. And yet you still love us. And so we pray for your Spirit to do that cleansing job for us on the inside, so that we're not just going through the motions or do acts of worship, but that our worship becomes who we are and what we do out of gratitude for you and for the faith that you gift us with. So wash us all clean this morning, especially before we come to the communion table. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.